United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
That. So we are here, 367, good morning. I think that's Meter Man. I've lost some people, but we're here. Just so that you know, we're here. Got Jeff in the studio, and they can call back in, but I lost the calls over there. I started a whole new... Hey, Matt.
You're a mean one, Mrs.
Hi, guys.
I'm not mean. I just... Hey, I was having... you know, I'm having problems. Can you tell?
Listen,
it's Christmas time.
You know I'm familiar with Blog Talk. I know how it goes.
Yeah.
You know what?
What's up with the British lady today, guys?
That was me. It's not the British lady's fault. It's actually my fault. I did it. I started out this morning with a 15-minute segment, and then I went into a go-live segment, and then I didn't put enough time into the go-live segment, and then the go-live segment went off, and then I had to come back in and do another go-live segment. But I see that the go-live segments work, so it was something new for me, so at least I know that I can just go live almost instantly, which is kind of cool.
And you got more time now with Go Live.
Yeah, see that.
You could do the show until like 3.
It looks that way. So I tried something new and I found out that it works. So I can't complain about it working because it's working.
Yeah, I've used it before, usually for test shows, and it works pretty good. So
it was my first time using it, so I can't complain. Listen to this. Anti-Christian Human Rights Campaign is asking the government to harass Christian schools.
Yep.
Well, they've already done that.
The one thing... Yeah, they sure have. But they're going to do it some more. And unless Christians get out and start voting these people out of office
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
You guys had heard of this this Kentucky school that public school that was doing a Charlie Brown Christmas and decided that they were going to censor the line of speech about what Christmas is all about. Now let me ask you: this is our public school system, okay? These are supposed to be the wizards of smart. Number one, why would you choose a program with the word Christmas in it? It's called a Charlie Brown Christmas. Number two. When the entire Charlie Brown Christmas story is about Charlie Brown coming to the realization of what Christmas is all about, that's the main idea of the story. Is this what our schools are teaching our kids about how to grasp a main idea of a story? Or are they just saying, you know what, the story is whatever you think it is or whatever we tell you it is?
Why have it in the first place if you're just going to mess it all up?
Can I, you know, the world has just gone mad. You didn't go deep. You didn't go deep. And while you were going deep, I'm reading an article or the headline of, it looks as though six people were killed. Six American service members were killed over in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And guess where your president is?
Hawaii.
No, guess where he is in Hawaii. No, you can be in Hawaii.
Pearl Harbor.
No.
Where?
Golf course.
Oh, of course he's on the golf course.
Pearl
Whenever
Harbor.
Whenever a serviceman get killed, he goes to the golf course.
He's probably on the third hole right now. It's probably early over there.
Third hole, fifth beer.
Yeah. Bottlery.
The attack was carried out by a suicide bomber on a motorcycle outside a U.S. military base. The largest loss of life of American troops in Afghanistan this year, the Taliban claimed responsibility.
But
the sovereign news didn't stop Obama from heading to the golf course, a tradition that he enjoys, the Hawaiian climate during the holidays. The president and three of his friends hit the golf course shortly after noon at the Mid-Pacific Country Club.
You know, Tracy, it's real good to know I got a nephew over there right now.
And that's scary. And I thought the Taliban was under control. And I'd also like to add this. It's funny that they say that this is a tradition that Obama likes to keep on the Christmas holiday. I bet you a tradition that these servicemen, these brave servicemen who died, their families likes to keep is to spend Christmas with their sons.
Oh, I'm sure. But, you know, here we go again. You have a president that refuses to listen to the real generals. He's fired a ton of them.
It's not that he refuses, Jeff.
He refuses.
No.
Okay, what is it?
He has...
He knows better.
No.
Okay.
The general's agenda is not his. And so what he does is he follows his own agenda, and his agenda is not lining up with the general's agenda.
It's not lining up with Americans' agenda.
Well, his... We'll get,
safety?
Well... His agenda is not America's agenda.
He's supposed to be. He's sworn to that.
No,
he should be removed from office. He should have been removed from office 4 years ago.
You can't remove him from office.
Well, I don't know why you can't, but they refuse to, and that's what makes me agree with our caller from PA, who says that you know, the elites have no, you know, they want to tear down the United States. They don't want the United States to be strong and anything like that. I told you, they're going to turn us in close to a third world nation because they have to take our standard of living down, which is probably why they're flooding the country with you know, people that are used to living that way.
You know, Jeff, and I got to tell you, you're absolutely right, and so was the caller, because it's the elites that are in Washington, and that's on both sides of the aisle, because there are people in the Republican Party that are pushing for a globalist future and the push towards power and control. But there are the few people, and I was explaining this after we lost you on Blog Talk the last time, 440 and I were talking about it. There are people in Washington, if you pay attention to how they go about drafting legislation, even though it doesn't look on the surface like they're for something, there are people in Washington, and I'm going to mention the guy's name, and you know, Sarge and I had a bit of a disagreement last week, but I totally agree with everything other than, you know, what he said about it. Ted Cruz is one of those people who draft legislation that looks kind of iffy on the surface, but if you really look at what he's done and how he's gone about doing it, he plays the system in a system that's playing us. So he's really doubling down on what the system is doing to us. We need to find those politicians and start bringing them to the forefront instead of saying, you know, that they're unelectable or all of these other things. What Ted Cruz did with that amnesty bill was nothing short of miraculous. And he's being shoved in a corner because, well, actually his polls look good, but people are going after him because of something that he did that was a political game that he beat the system by. And because of what he did, we don't have amnesty.
I got a question for you, Matt. Are you against making a legalized pathways to citizenship? I asked this question yesterday. You weren't here.
Could you ask the question again?
Are you against a pathway to citizenship for illegals?
Yes.
Completely?
Pretty much, unless we were to say, all right, this is the last time we're going to, because we've given illegals a pathway to citizenship in the past, and we said that's the last time, and then we do it again, and we say that's the last time. We need to draft some type of legislation that says that this is the last time, there is no way to change that, and now we have to concentrate on border security and getting our actual immigration system legally to function as it should, which is
right.
To vet the correct amount of people and do it as quickly as possible and as safely as possible.
You know what I would do first? I'd shut the border off, especially the southern border, but I'd shut the northern border off too. Okay. Then I would send out of this country every one of the criminal element of the illegal refugee, illegal people that are here. That'd be number one. That'll take you enough time. But the thing is you need to get them gone. And through this, you're going against their rights. They don't have rights. They're not citizens. Let them go. Push them out. Get rid of them. Then when you have a moderate control, a modicum of control, then you can start an immigration list if you want to, that those people that are here will sit on that list just like everybody else has done. And they will not get their citizenship before the people that are in front of them on that list.
Yeah, that's common sense.
They haven't violated. And then they'll have to pay a fine for coming across the border before they can become a citizen.
Yeah, and you had that issue. Not to mention you had 300,000 refugees from Syria that are going to come over here as well. I mean, it's no other animal we're dealing with.
And a refugee, don't forget, a refugee gets taken care of. See, illegal immigrants don't.
No, and that's true. That's true. And a refugee, do refugees have a pathway to citizenship?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because they're refugees. They're coming here for asylum.
I'm lost. Why don't they just use drones? You don't even have to really build a border. You got drones. You can get underground drones. You can get all types of ways to really stop illegals. I mean, it could be done. We don't even need people to do it. We need maybe a guy sitting at a computer somewhere.
I don't care how they do it, Alabama. My point was to first get control of the border. And then once you have control of it, then you get rid of the criminal element. What they keep doing is they keep charging
when you say
these
criminal,
people
what do you mean?
And then
you
releasing
mean all
them
illegals?
Again.
Are you saying all illegals are criminal elements? Or now, are you saying the guy's the rapist? What are you saying?
How did you miss?
One at a time. I can't hear you.
How did you miss criminal element?
No, I'm asking you to clarify what you mean by criminal element. Because it's illegal. The word illegal implies criminal.
Can I clarify?
Say that again. I can't. Hold on. I didn't hear the question. What did you say, Alabama?
I was saying that the word illegal, you say criminal element of illegals. Criminal and illegal are two key words, and I just wanted him to clarify. I don't know why he thinks I'm for illegals coming. I'm not. I'm actually against it.
No, I'm not saying that you think that. I didn't say that, first of all. But number two, criminals are people that have broken the law that we have here in the United States. Not necessarily them coming across the border, because I'm going to fine them for that. But the thing is I'm going to get rid of the gangbangers that are killing folk, drunk driving all the time, and the element that steal, that have these gangs, they got to go.
But you know what?
They
one of the problems. One of the problems is, and it's very simple. We already have border guards on the borders, okay? And we have quite a few border guards, and this goes back into the Bush presidency too. The problem is we don't allow these people to do their jobs. As a matter of fact, we hold them up on criminal charges, these border guards, for doing their job. I mean, we've actually brought illegal immigrants back across the border after they were deported to testify in a case against border guards. So, I mean, really,
right.
The beginning of the solution is to allow these people and government to do the job that it's supposed to do in order to take care of the problem. And we just double down on the problem and never solve it.
Yeah, they're not allowed to talk about what they do at work.
Not only that, they bring the refugees in, and you don't know where they're sending them.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. I think I've lost my guest. I'll be right back.
Listen to News Talk 600 Saturdays at noon for On Earth as It Is in Heaven and Father Andrew, pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. Saturdays at noon on News Talk 600.
Need tires for your vehicle on a budget? Call George at 330-272-8120. George has new and used tires from $10 and up. Stop by at 2104 Hubbard Road in Youngstown. You'll be pleased with the service you get from George. Call 330-272-8120. That's 330-272-8120. Make sure you say you heard it on Tracy and Friends. 330-272-8120.
Shopping days are dwindling, but we have the perfect gift, the Cumulus Golf Card Birdie Edition. Play these great courses for half price. Avalon at Squaw Creek with its spectacular tree-lined fairways. Tam O'Shanter with its Death Valley Par 3. And Bedford Trails with its colored flags to tell you where each hole is located. three great courses with 18 holes of golf and a cart, all for half price. Order now at 600WSOM.com. Nemmons IGA, continuing the Nemmons family tradition, providing quality products, fast and friendly service, and our lowest everyday price. Serving our community since 1930. Every day, the Nemmons Famous Bakery makes the best Italian bread for only 99 cents. Farm fresh produce and all Nemmons fresh meats are cut in store daily and are products of the USA. Beer and wine sold at state minimum prices. Find specials at NemmonsStores.IGA.com. Nemmons IGA, Struthers and Lincoln Knowles.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I'm no good at math. I hate math.
I've always considered myself a good mother, but when it came to my son Billy's math, I was at a loss. It wasn't that he didn't try, but he kept falling further behind and losing confidence. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. You can order any subject from arithmetic to fractions, percents, algebra, even calculus. Concepts are simplified in an entertaining way, so students enjoy learning at their own pace in the convenience of home. It's as easy as watching TV. Best of all, it's affordable for everyone. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now for a 30-day risk-free trial. 800-USA-MATH. Now that school is in full swing, it's important for your child to keep up with the fast-moving classroom pace. With Math Made Easy, your child will always be one step ahead. Call now, 800-USA-MATH. That's 800-USA-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
Need tires for your vehicle on a budget? Call George at 330-272-8120. George has new and used tires from $10 and up. Stop by at 2104 Hubbard Road in Youngstown. You'll be pleased with the service you get from George. Call 330-272-8120. That's 330-272-8120. Make sure you say you heard it on Tracy and Friends. 330-272-8120. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. Preparing our belly.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I've just messed up the whole day, so we just have to just deal with it. So I got Jeff in studio with me. It's 41 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, after 11 o'clock, and I don't know what the heck's going on over here, and I can't see. The sun's in my eyes. The lights are on, and
it's a good problem to have.
I'm not complaining about the sun, but I can't see, and I've got crazy people in the studio, and you guys don't want to give people a pathway to citizenship.
No, not like, I'll give them a pathway, but like I said.
You guys are just mean.
Once the border is shut down, you get rid of the criminal element, okay? Those that are in trouble with the law all the time, drug dealers, we know who they are. We never send them back. We let them languish or sit here in prison. Mm-hmm. Take them out of that prison, send them back to their country, and forbid them to come back. Okay. Period.
You know, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but I can say that the best line that has come out of this whole thing when it comes to immigration comes from Donald Trump, and it's when he says, "We either have a country or we do not have a country," and that rings true with our laws. It's the United States. We have founding documents, we have a blueprint, and we have borders. And he's absolutely right. We either have a country or we don't.
Amen. And
hey, Mike,
right.
How are you?
Fine, thank you, Tracy. How are you doing, dear?
I'm doing good. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, hon. Merry Christmas. Big Merry Christmas to you.
Big Merry Christmas.
Blessings in 2016 to you also.
Say that again?
I said, and many blessings to you in 2016, the new year.
Thank you so much, and the same to you.
Thank you.
So you feel the same way?
Do I feel the same way, that 2016 is going to be a good year, or Trump is right?
No, Trump is right.
Oh, okay, we're back to that, huh? Okay, I'd rather talk to you about Christmas. But actually, I've read his books, and he's a bottom-line negotiator. And you know what? This is all part of his negotiating strategies. If you read any of his books, he asks for the moon and the stars and everything. And then when he ends up giving back on that, everybody thinks oh, my God, at least it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And he walks out the door with three times more than he really wanted. And that's what he's doing on this wall. because Jeff has got a part of it figured out. He starts putting up this wall, and the first mile that goes up, everyone's going to laugh at him. Oh, Trump's folly if he's president. By the time there's 100 miles of that wall built, and he's going around the country arresting the foreign drug people and the gangbangers and all of a sudden people are going to go, wow, he's serious. Now, we still haven't gotten to the 12 million illegals. By the time that wall is 600-700 miles long and people committing crimes are being deported back to their country, about a third of the illegals will go, oh, this guy's serious. They will get up and leave on their own. And of the remaining two-thirds, he isn't going to have to deal with most of them, because then he'll compromise and he'll go, well, all right, you know, all right, a path to legitimacy. You got 30 days to register with ICE, or you're going to be in the next movement out of this country. And you'll see a whole bunch of them at that point go righteous. What he'll actually then have to clean up is next to nothing. Most of his work will be done by that time that wall's 1,000 miles long.
Can I respond to Mike?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yes.
You know, my problem with Trump is I don't believe him. That's it. He's saying some good things here and there. Every once in a while, there's a faux pas, but I don't believe him. I've heard the thing that you're talking about, Mike, in his book, talking about how he asked for the moon and the stars, and that's part of the negotiating thing. And everybody seems to think that that's like a new idea, like he was a genius for coming up with that, when the fact is we all use that strategy or have in our life. I just bought a camper last year. I paid a certain amount for it, and when I put it up for sale, I asked for the moon and the stars for the camper, and they said I was crazy, and they came down to a price of, and I sold it for $500 more than I bought it for. So it's not like a new idea. The problem with Trump, though, is with his past, you got to understand, Donald Trump is about Donald Trump. He gets what he wants because he hires people around him that are yes men, that know what they're talking about, and they'll say, yes, sir, we will do that for you, sir. What's going to happen if he asks for something completely unconstitutional? We're going to see exactly what we have now with Obama, and that's he's going to find people that's going to get it done, and if we open our mouths, he's going to treat us, the people who voted for him, just like he's treating the people now who dare speak out against him. And that's what I'm afraid of with Donald Trump.
Well, let me respond to that. I
disagree with that. I disagree with that summarization.
Who doesn't surround himself?
Okay.
And, of course, you married your wife because she wasn't a yes person to all your whims, right?
Oh, she's not even close.
Yeah, that's why you stay together, okay?
Yeah, everybody has Donald Trump absolutely maligned here, and this is why you're losing. Okay, Donald Trump is not a bully, a business person.
Yeah.
He's just, as you said, you opened up when you said he's a negotiator. He knows how to negotiate. But here's the problem. He's not just telling everybody, you better do this. He's telling his employees what to do. But when he enters into agreement to sell, to buy, to do all these other things, he doesn't tell those people what to do. He has to negotiate.
Now, let me hold on. There's a documentary on right now, and, you know, you got to – Trump is he is a dictator. I mean, he is a dictator, and he's a brilliant man, and he's been running for a very long time. But with that said, he changes his mind, and he expects for when he changes his mind for your mind to change too.
That's his prerogative. It's his businesses.
That's correct. But see, in private industry, you don't have that. In public thought, you don't have that ability. Or you should not.
He doesn't need it. He's going. Let's see.
Hold on. Go ahead, Jeff.
You think he's stupid?
No, I don't think he's stupid.
You don't have to think that he's going to be. That this is how he's going to conduct himself.
Jeff,
he knows what it takes to do what he's got to do.
I know. Listen, he knows what it takes to do what he's got to do, but I don't think he comprehends. It's like getting married. Let me finish what I'm saying. It's like getting married. Very, very few people, I'm not going to say all, but very, very few people really understand what marriage is until they jump in it. And then one day the honeymoon is over and life kicks in. It's like, oh, snap, what am I in? I think that that's kind of epiphany that he will have because he has what he wants and he's always gotten what he wanted. But I don't think he comprehends when he gets there what he can and cannot do.
I think he understands it absolutely well.
880, your mic is on.
Hi, guys. You know, just the just a couple weeks ago, this didn't get reported on in the news. Donald Trump was speaking in front of a pro-Israel lobby group, and he told them that he can't be bought. He said, and I quote, "You're not going to support me because I don't want your money." Now, I support Donald Trump and Rand Paul. Those are the only two in the Republican Party that aren't totally controlled by Jewish lobby groups. Donald Trump will, I do believe he will make America great again, and he will befriend Russia, and that is a great sign because I do not want to go into World War III with Russia over a quagmire in Syria and Ukraine that doesn't even involve American interest whatsoever. Israel is the reason why we're friends with Russia.
Don't go down the rabbit trail because you know I hung up on you yesterday.
I'm telling you right now, Donald Trump, he said that we shouldn't have overthrown Saddam and we shouldn't have overthrown Gaddafi. I like it when he talks that
way. Can I ask you a question? Who put Saddam in power?
Well, that's the thing. We did, but then Israel wanted him removed because he was an obstacle in the way of their greater Israel plan.
That's not true.
It had nothing to do with Israel. Like,
no, because you got to know who he is.
I know
he
is.
You got to know who he is. I'm not talking about you.
I do take issue with anybody who says Donald Trump only surrounds himself with yes people. He surrounds himself with like-minded people, and he holds them to a standard of performance. As president, he will put people into cabinet positions that this nation hasn't seen since the days of Andrew Jackson and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. He will not surround himself with yes people. He will surround himself with yes I can.
So you are you a Trump supporter, Mike?
All the way. All the way.
See, and I am not, Mike, but I agree with you 1,000%.
Pardon me?
He will. If you study his success, you got to go by success. Okay, let's say he's all these evil, corrupt, no good things, and he surrounds himself with yes people. Well, then he picks a lot of right people because look at his accomplishments.
Yeah, look at his accomplishments for him is my point.
No, look at his accomplishments.
Let's bash him.
Why don't we incorporate him so you could bash him as a Wall Street big corporation? You know, one of those ones that dirty, evil company that only employs 800,000 people and feeds all those families. He does a lot. Yes, it's his ego. But who doesn't have a big ego to push him and drive them? You wouldn't put up with 1 week of his schedule if you had to put up with all his headaches. The bigger the check, the bigger the problem.
Mike, there was a lady on from here on another station that said that she so many years ago she had just got a divorce and she moved out to Vegas, I think, or maybe to the coast, and worked at one of the Trump casinos, and said that when they were there, there was a union. They had a union where a lot of places did not. He said that they also they were the highest paid of all of the casinos, and that he always gave them bonuses at Christmas time, and then he also gave them time off so that everybody could go to the party for at least an hour or two. She said it was the best employment she ever had in her life.
Yes,
and when they bankrupted, he said not one person lost their job that worked for him.
He takes care of people around him, which I understand. But can I ask Mike one question? Let me ask a question, and this is one of the more notable things that he said, and this is a very bothersome thing, and I don't understand why other people aren't completely moved by this and understand it. When it came to the subject of eminent domain, he didn't say that it's a necessary evil, which eminent domain tends to be a necessary evil. Donald Trump argued for over 5 minutes on his love for eminent domain. He said he loves it. It's a big government idea to take people's property away from them. Whether they get a fair amount, whether they get more than they paid for it, if they want to stay on their private property, he said that he loves the idea of government being able to come in and rip it away from them. People need to explain to me how he isn't for government interfering in our private lives and then tell me that he's the greatest thing since the Constitution has been drafted.
See, here we go with the greatest thing now. I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. I'm telling you how to not make yourself look foolish when he slams you with the way that he's done business.
But what I'm talking about,
wait a minute.
But you can't tell me, listen, it's not about slamming me or slamming anyone else. What I'm saying is, as if you listen to what he says, if you listen to what he's done, if you look over his history, if you read his books, if you go through all of that, you will understand that he is a narcissist dictator, and if he doesn't get his way.
I don't understand that.
I know.
Not at all.
I know. And I'm just saying. And he is never been a conservative. He is a big government guy. He's a big business guy, and he will manipulate it for his own common good and his own common use.
What?
And I don't think he is prepared and or is ready. Now that does not mean he will not be the nominee. Now, I think he's very divisive. I think he is a person that, you know, is he better than Hillary? Yeah, but it would be it's very difficult because I don't think he has what it takes to get there. And I don't understand. And when I say get there, I'm talking about do the job after he gets there. Can he get to the White House? I believe that he can. Because he's been running since he began. And when I say since he began, I'm talking about high school. He put it in his crawl that he wanted to be president one day, and that's what he's going to go do.
And who would you support instead of Trump right now? Who would you support, Tracy? Who do you support?
I support John Kasich.
And I see every one of the governors, as far as I'm concerned, are disqualified. They don't think fast enough. They say they have executive experience. That's a title we give them to flatter them. The truth is it's the legislatures that run the states. The governor gets to hear the public press, check out the wind. He's got 2 years to hear 200 good arguments either way, and then he finally, when they put it on his desk, makes a decision. When John Kennedy found that photograph with missiles in Cuba, he had 48 hours to bring this nation to full war posture back in 62.
Well, John Kasich. Now, you got Mike. You got to talk more with.
I
can talk. Listen, Mike. Mike. What I'm saying is, you talk about what you know, and I'll talk about what I know.
Yeah, I know.
And as far as the legislature running over John Kasich in Ohio, now there may be some legislators and some administrators that the legislature has run over, but John Kasich doesn't get run over very well. He doesn't do good at that. Including doing things that the legislative Republican majority did not like, because he sure enough backdoored Medicaid. Did he not, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, great. A lot of governors did.
But
that's because the people.
Here's the thing, Mike. This is where you'd have to be. You have to understand. John Kasich comes out of business, not just legislature. And because he worked well. Big pardon?
I applaud his business side. That's the only reason.
Well,
why
what I'm saying is,
vice president.
Yeah, well, I mean, that may end up happening, but here's my thing. I'm not trying to say to vote for Trump when I'm telling you what his good ports are. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell you that what you're trying to make him out to be, he isn't, and you're going to lose on that point every time. He's not a dictator. He runs a tight ship. He runs his own ship, but he can't run everybody else's business. And so when he does business in the world, he has to compete and he has to negotiate. Donald Trump is a master competitor and a master negotiator, which is why he's appealing to the conservatives.
Of course.
And that's,
but Jeff, is he appealing to conservatives,
yes,
or is he appealing to other people?
He's appealing to conservatives.
I don't know.
And
I'm going to ask you a question when I get off the air and see what you think on this before I run out the door real quick.
Okay.
But I don't. I think he's appealing to conservatives, but I think he's appealing to conservatives for a novice reason.
I don't think it's novice at all, because people have been waiting a long time for a leader.
See, I've never said he was not a leader.
You got this pink patty guy.
So is Barack Obama.
He's not a leader. He's in the place of a leader. And the Bible says it's a shame for a fool to be in the place of a king.
Jeff, whether you like it or not, that's what I'm saying. Whether you like it or not, Barack Obama is a leader. Now, he might be a bad leader, and he might be the worst leader, but he is leading. And hold on. And he's leading it so well that he has us in shambles.
Well, that's because
he
can't lead.
Hold on. No, he's leading. The problem is the people that are following him are loyal to him, but he's leading. He's leading somebody.
He understands how to gain the support of the people that believe in the vision, of his true vision. Yeah, she's right.
But, well, I totally disagree, because that's not what he's got. He's got people that love him because they believe that whatever he says to them. Because that's
no,
how he
no,
got
no,
on.
No, Jeff. I'm talking about you watch Congress. You watch both Congresses. As a matter of fact, let's go back to the omnibus bill that we talked about. We may not like him, but you can't say he ain't leading.
He ain't leading.
What does he do?
Watch the clock, Trey.
Huh? Watch the clock. My going to knock me off.
Republicans have to do what they're doing this
they
time.
They need to lead like Barack Obama because for some reason he tends to get some stuff done that we can't get done.
Well,
is he leading or not?
No. There's been a train started. And he cannot, and they cannot overcome the momentum of that train like this, because otherwise they will be marked by the press, and the press will not give them a fair hearing. So they're trying to get through an election year, and then they'll say, it's only 1 year, we'll deal with it afterwards. One way or another.
American Ass Talk is heard right here in the valley on News.
Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. I'm looking something up for somebody. I'm at work, and I was looking something up on the database for someone. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Well, you're at work.
Yeah. Well, I'm running my empire, and I've got people interfacing with me, and I keep saying, I'm on the radio. Don't interrupt me. It's my lunch, you know. But people are trying to execute my orders and carry them out, and I have to give them the tools that, you know, otherwise I hold them accountable for something that I make them impotent on. That isn't fair either, you know. So...
that sounds presidential to me. You should
upper level management. No.
You should reconsider your career path.
Yeah, I know. I had to stop a movement here to have me run for Congress 2 years ago. No, ain't my life. No, I want to be able to push a button and see the light go on. I don't
right.
want to argue about something for 3 years and get 200 people to agree with me. You know.
Yep.
The last line in the poem by Milton, "Paradise Lost." I like Satan's line. When he got kicked out of the garden, he shook his fist and said, "That's okay. I'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven."
Right. Yeah, it's true. At least
that's my business attitude. It ain't much of a ship to look at, but I am the captain, and I walked it proudly after hours. You know?
That's right. You're at the top of the pyramid that way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, everybody's killing themselves with ulcers and everything, trying to get to the top, break through the glass ceiling. Establish your own pyramid, and you are at the top.
Oh, absolutely.
Then all you got to do is fill in the bottom with the masses. That's easy to do. It's harder to fight your way up through the masses.
It really is. I have problems with filling those masses, though, because a lot of people don't like me.
So. Well, that's the other part about business. Other people's opinion of you can't matter.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Other people's opinion of you shouldn't matter. That's the best part about business.
Which is true, but you got to get them to follow you some way, shape, or form. So it's a tightrope.
I'm sorry, Mark. What'd you say?
No, I said you got to get them to follow you, though. And it's a tightrope walk, so you got to have them at least have some confidence in you.
Yeah, you do. And you see, when Trump sits down with Putin, it's going to be a very honest meeting. It's not going to be all this superficial, politically correct, what do they call that, the State Department stuff with ambassadors and all that protocol crap. Trump isn't going to sit down and say, Premier Putin, I'm here because I really care about the Soviet people and I want to make their lives better. He's going to say, Putin, I know why you're here. You want to do what's best for your country. Well, then cut me the same. Understand, I'm here because I want to do what's best for my country. So let's start this at an honest level instead of all the superficial niceties of ambassadorship, you know, and the crap that goes on in the UN, you know. And stop using words like, well, we're really concerned about recent developments in that part of the world. No, I don't like what you did in the Ukraine. That's how real people talk, you know.
Right, which I agree with, and when I, as I said, I'm not. I like here. Trump has done a big service to this country, and especially the way politics is run.
Yeah.
And what he's done is, and people have said this quite a bit. He has really awoken the anger in the country. He has gotten people to find a voice for them who have been sitting, you know, here for, I don't know, 10, 15 years now in shock and disbelief of how overblown their government has gotten. And I think that's a service, and I actually thank him for that.
See, I know people that have met with Donald Trump. I've been invited to a private situation after the first of the year where I will actually spend some time there in a very intimate setting. And I will tell you that anybody who's actually sat with the man for an hour, they are amazed at what he does. He listens politely and takes notes. And everybody said they were treated with respect. And even the Latin community, after he made the statement about the murders and the rapists, some Latin organization that met with him and stuff, they were interviewed. Of course, that never got in the mainstream press. They walked out. What was it like? You know, it wasn't what we thought. He sat there politely, listened to us, asked us questions and all, and we were treated with respect. That's what they said. But that'll never hit the mainstream news.
No, it won't.
Remember, don't ever confuse his public game face with the man privately.
Well, the public game face is that's another thing right there then to me that he's making poor decisions because his public game face shows him as so paper thin that bothers me. If he's going, listen, when it came down to the Soviet Union and the way Reagan handled that, I thought that was as perfect a way. It was a combination of toughness and understanding. And the way that you just described Trump as being politely listening and the whole deal and knowing when to go off when it's time to go off, okay, I could go for that. But that's not the persona that he's been putting out over the last 6 months, and I think that's a mistake.
He's trying to – yeah, I know, but he's just trying to be different too. He's trying to show that he's an outsider and he's different. And remember, it doesn't matter who gets in the White House. Here's one truth. The first two letters of president are PR. And that's where it begins and ends.
That's a good point.
That's where, for me, I keep things really simple. You know, being blind, I never saw the printed word long enough to develop any spelling skills. So when I can lock onto a few letters in every word, I can get close to the proper spelling, and president to me is PR.
That works out. Let me ask you a question, Mike. Actually, I'm gonna throw something at you, and you tell me if you think it's one of the greatest ideas that could happen. Do you remember when Clint Eastwood appeared at the Republican National Convention and was talking to an empty chair?
Yeah, I remember that. I've done that.
And well, now that we have...
the girl had gotten up an hour before, and I had no shot at a date. Yeah.
Right.
That happens to you when you're blind. That happens to you. Yes, I had sympathy for Clint.
So now tell me that the opportunity, and probably the greatest opportunity, hasn't been presented where they could do the same thing with Clint Eastwood, where he could come up and talk to an empty podium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would that not be great?
Yeah, that would be. It would be. See, he could be a moderator at a debate where he could ask the question. And by the way he asked the question, the answer would be there. He would say he could go to Ted Cruz and Kasich and Huckabee and Rand Paul and et cetera, et cetera. Go right down the list and ask them all one very well-crafted question that in the question was the answer that the public needs to hear, you know, and it would be a very, very well, it would be a brilliant thing to do. I like that, but I would line up 13 podiums or lecterns and go one by one by one and ask them questions and start, you know, and you got the one in the center that, you know, was very obviously the center, and I would do the flying V formation where, you know, it's like a V. So there's a pecking order, and there's somebody at the head of there, and Trump would stand in the middle of one. You know, we need an odd number of people there. I have formulated what I think would be the perfect Trump government. I think Donald Trump should make Ted Cruz his chief of staff and tell him, look, I need this piece of legislation. Go over there and tell that useless piece of, you know what, Mitch McConnell and Ryan over there that we need this, and I need it on my desk in 2 weeks to sign. Cruz is an animal. He would go over there and get it. You know, I would make Lindsey Graham probably, or Kasich, because they're vast experience, but I would make most likely Lindsey Graham Secretary of Defense to oversee the massive buildup of our military and the modernization of our military. I would put Rand Paul in charge of the Treasury and let him deal with the Federal Reserve. I think he's the only one who understands that whole system and has it as an issue in his heart. you know.
Oh, with him and Cruz being on board together, they agree on quite a bit. I think that would be a great choice.
Rubio,
yeah.
I would make press secretary, the little silver-tongued devil that he is. Come to do the craziest stuff in the world, and it would be Rubio's job to spin it back to center.
You know what? Rubio drives me nuts, but I got to admit, I'll sit there and listen to him, and I'll be like, man, that guy sounds good.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he should be press secretary.
I agree with that.
You know? I went right down the whole list of everybody standing on the stage there. I would put Santorum. I would make Huckabee in charge of Middle Eastern affairs as a special envoy to go over there and work on the situation over there, or Ben Carson, one or the other, because they're both Ben Carson especially is a fast study. He learns quickly, and his slow cadence in the world of translation and diplomatic negotiations isn't a negative. Because when you're working through a translator, you can move that slow. I've done it. I've taught outside the United States where I've had three translators simultaneously while I was in front of a room full of people. You know, one asking me the questions that the audience was asking me, one being my voice, and another one giving me the take on what's going on with body language in the room. And it's a schizophrenic existence, but it's a lot of fun. And you do have a lot of time to think of your responses, so you come across looking really great.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
absolutely.
I would make Carly Farina, believe it or not, vice president. She neutralizes Hillary's woman factor then, and I would give her a special task, as the president tends to do with the vice president. Carly, you're in charge of cyber warfare for the United States. Your job is to create a defense strategy and to create an attack strategy if anybody dares to come after us anymore once I'm sworn in as president. That's what I would do. And I go right down the whole list. I would make Santorum because he has family values and all. I put him in charge of health, education, and welfare with a very simple mandate. Close that federal office, the education office, and put it back to the states and the counties where it should have always been. It's not the federal government's plan. And then after you're done with that, start going through Chris Christie. I put him in charge of Homeland Security. Rudy Giuliani, Attorney General, head of the Justice Department, somewhere in there. That's where I put Rudy Giuliani. Judge Napolitano would be the first of the three or four judges I would have to appoint to the Supreme Court. And I would rely heavily upon his judgment, who else to grab, because the next president in 8 years most likely is going to replace four people on that court, minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm going out like that. Also, get someone in charge of closing down useless federal agencies. Like, we have an agency that gets $27 million a year in their budget. It's almost 100 years old. It's called Rural Electrification. I think anybody in a rural area who wanted electricity by now, wouldn't you think so? And the people who don't, you know how many solar panels you could buy and windmills you could buy for $27 million? You could take care of the 100 people that don't have electricity at their cabin.
Oh, hell yeah, you could. I was just talking to a guy the other day. It's a camping Facebook page that I'm on, and he just got solar panels for his RV.
Yeah.
Said they work awesome.
Yeah, they do. And they make new ones now that are rollouts. They're flexible. They're like the old rubber mats that used to be the water heaters in water beds.
Yeah,
they're
even 16, better.
They're 16 inches wide, 18 feet long, and it takes about 8 of them to equal a kilowatt. And you could go out into a clearing with your RV and roll them out onto the ground. Just don't step on them. And it's red wire and black wire to hook them up. Just if you could jump start a car, you could hook these things up. They're not complicated anymore. The only thing you've got to remember, if you're doing it in the bright sunlight, remember they're hot. They have electricity on them.
Right.
You got to do it in the dark.
There's a future lawsuit. Forgot about that warning label.
Yeah. Whoops. Forgot about that warning.
Now we need a government department for labels on solar panels, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then when you're done, you could roll them up and take them with you.
Yeah.
They're excellent. And they're cheap. They're cheap. They're like down around, they're less than a dollar a watt. And that's huge because 5 years ago, solar was around $8 a watt. So if you wanted a 10-kilowatt system, you were going to spend 80 Gs. Today, you can build that same system for probably under $15,000,
$16,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got
a lot of research. And there's other types of rigid panels and stuff, too. But the roll-up panels are great for somebody who's mobile. You know, especially if you have a bug-out bag or something, you could take a couple of panels with you and a small little inverter that would be probably about the size of a cigar box, and you've got your cell phone charging and everything else you can do, and you could charge batteries, and, you know, you could pretty much be self-contained with just a couple of these panels.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. But, yeah, you're right. Government agencies that are like that. That's why right now I think the top three candidates right now need to be planning for, you know, especially if we're talking about defunding government programs, is they really need to go in there with a plan and start implementing that plan on day one. I mean, like what you're talking about, what was that called again? The suburban
rural electrification.
Rural electrification. Can you just imagine how much pork and
they've been getting federal funding?
Right.
Another one is the Department of Energy, which has no energy plan after 40 years. They've been given almost $1 trillion. We have no energy plan that's national, right?
Right.
And if you look at their budget for 40 years, you will see half that money has been spent on remodeling their offices.
Right, exactly. It's a slush fund for pork and earmarks.
And people who help out during the campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, yeah.
And that's the way most of these ridiculous government agencies are. Even the big ones, like the Department of Education, which you mentioned, which is nothing but a destructive force in this country. It's ridiculous. Look at these freaking college kids, Mike, that are currently out protesting. They're protesting,
Sushi.
Mike, against the
Sushi.
First Amendment.
Sushi, because it's because it's disrespectful of the culture because you didn't follow the recipe. That was on the news yesterday.
Run that by me again.
Sushi. There's a college campus that protested because in the cafeteria they served General Pao's
something or another.
It didn't follow the traditional recipe. They used coleslaw instead of kimchi buried in the ground for, you know, and let it rot and ferment for 10 years. You know, they used coleslaw, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say that from now on, you know, college campuses should just have two things to serve. Number one, blended up meat. Number two, blended up vegetables. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll call it, what do they call that in?
Bring back the draft, and we need to get these little prima donnas away from their parents, and we need to put them under authority figures who don't give a rat's patootie about them. It's about, this is what authority is like. This is what life is like. You will always answer to somebody. You are not the center of the universe. And our kids don't know that today.
Well, they don't, and they're stupid. What I was talking, I wasn't talking about the sushi thing. What I was talking about was the Yale people that are going out and literally protesting. They were using their First Amendment right
to protest the First Amendment. Yes.
Which, what sense does that make?
1,500 of them were approached about signing that petition to end the First Amendment, and only 15 actually raised the objection. One girl actually looked it up on her iPhone to see what the First Amendment said, and then after reading the entire First Amendment, she said, yeah, I'll sign that. They're stupid. They're actually and part of the First Amendment right, like you aptly point out, is your right to protest.
Right.
To redress grievances. That's one of your rights.
You just want to give
away your right to have rights to protest, and you want to protest so you can give. These kids are stupid. They know nothing.
I made a Facebook post a while ago, Mike, about this Yale thing, and I said, you know what? I said, you know, let's get rid of the First Amendment. That's fine, but as a consequence of violating the First Amendment, I think that we need to have the death by firing squad punishment come in. I said that way, 80% of college students will be dead within the first week.
Sure, they will.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Circular firing. We got to teach them just enough weapon skills so they can join a circular firing squad.
Right.
Where the person they hate is standing in the center and everybody gets to pull the trigger. They'll kill that person and they'll eliminate, like you say, 80% of the remaining opposition to that dumb viewpoint ever again.
Even the person in the middle will pull the trigger because of white guilt.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible what we're going through. I was talking to my neighbor the other day, and I said, you know, I said I knew the bad days were coming. I knew that they were going to get really bad, and I had an idea what it looked like.
Yeah.
I just never really gave thought of what it felt like, and it feels awful.
Yeah, that's why I'm pretty much positive things that I have control over. I joined in today just to hear the voices of some of the people that I like on the line here, but I really have no time to discuss politics all day because I'm not in control, and I'm working on some very special projects that are far more lucrative, will help a lot more people, and are really, really fun projects, and they motivate a lot of people, and they're doing a lot of good, and that's where I want to stay with those projects. I really don't have, you know, the riches. Somebody pointed out to me many years ago, probably 40 years ago, and as I get older, it really sinks in. The richest man and the poorest man in the world have absolutely one thing in common. They both only have 24 hours in the day.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
yep.
it. And it's what you do with that time that will determine where your life goes. And the second thing that same person shared with me several years later was your life moves in the direction of your predominant thoughts.
It does, too. There's
and it
something
does.
That,
That's an indisputable
there's something
fact.
To be said about
it. Does. If you're not thinking about it, trust me, it ain't happening for you.
Yeah, there's something to be said about positive thought and doing things for the good. Listen, Mike, I'm going to let you go because I got to get to the rest. I took the day off today,
too. Oh, my God, the show is over. I forgot that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we were on a commercial break. Okay, I've been so busy here doing my stuff.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Yeah. Is there any way that I can communicate with you? And I don't know. I don't want you to give out any personal information on this line because I don't know if they're still recording or what. But is there any way we could stay in touch?
You got a pen?
Yeah, let me. Well, I have a. Hang on, I have something better here. I have a talking computer. I can type. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. You're not so blind, Mike. Right?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
I got you.
Go ahead.
All right. My email address is Matt, M-A-T-T, the number 4, America. So Matt, the number 4, not spelled out, America, at A-T-T.
At A-T-T.
.net.
Oh, net. Okay. Okay.
So go ahead and shoot me an email, and I'll give you my Facebook information then.
Yeah, please, and then I'll try to figure it out. That's something I'm trying to learn to do. They've just made some advancements in talking computer technology that allow the blind to access Facebook. So.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, I've had an account for like many years, but I'm not the one who goes in admin. I have to let sighted people do it because, but now Facebook has made some concessions to the standard of the disabled allowing access. So, great. Well, thank you for the conversation, Matt.
No, I had fun, Mike. I look forward to talking more about it in the future. So you have a very Merry Christmas, sir, and a Happy New Year.
Same to you.
And I'll be in touch.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right, brother. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye, Matt.